Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome to Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in the Cafe Book Club. We're in Sensitive is the New Strong by Anita Morjani. And we started it last year, and we're moving into it this year. I'm telling you what. Woohoo! We are in part number two of your relationship with yourself. And, boy, if we've learned nothing this last year or so about moving into just heart care, and we had actually got a conversation this morning about self-care, and a lot of us are just like, we need to come up with a new way of talking about that. And I think that's part of what this book is going to be really great about doing, and really working into just having new terminology, have new vocabulary with all that. So with all that said, I'm going to go ahead and get my co-host, Miss Amy. How are you doing tonight?
Happy New Year!
Right?
That was supposed to be fireworks.
Oh, okay. That was like anyway, I was going to say the little pew, 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 little Star Wars stuff that goes on with these little, all that stuff going on. So, yeah. So here we are, new year and moving into new things, working with stuff. We did go through a little bit with this chapter last year in our TC 535. Which was, you know, how to live life more optimally as an empath. And boy, just to go back and review that for a second, there's always a mantra that goes with each of these chapters, which I love. And it says, I am like water, both gentle and strong. And really talking about, you know, being a sixth sensory person, living in a world that would be considered more five sensory. I think it's really important to be able to have different tools and things like that. Tonight we're going to really focus on the end of this chapter because we've been kind of going back and forth with it. And there's just, I think it's so important on the show. We've never done this before where we actually just spent the half hour just talking about processes and having practices. Mm-hmm. That really makes sense for people to be walking through. But like I said, if you go back to 535, you know, it's about unplugging from technology and getting in touch with your inner mystic, which Anita loves to talk about that, and really being in a path of, you know, really looking at connecting with myself and my higher self in just ways that really can support me 24/7. So anything with that, Amy, before we get into the exercises?
Well, what we have been hearing and, you know, of course, talking about forever, I think the problem was using the word self-care. It's been way overused. And so what we've been hearing and experiencing is it needs to be a practice, really three things. You need to have a practice and you need to do it consistently. You need to have a community that unconditionally loves you and helps you to grow. And you need to make sure you're connected to your soul, yourself, your higher self in everything that you do. So I know that it seems like a tall order, but we're living it, and we want to support you in living it.
Yeah, exactly. So I just want to really make sure that we have enough time to go through all these really wonderful exercises, and I really am grateful to Anita really putting this out. So if you're kind of new to the show and not really familiar with Sensitive is the New Strong, Anita had a near-death experience and was really called back to be helping people to really connect with themselves and in their empathic gifts and talents that they have, and no longer thinking of themselves as something that's an outside thing, but actually going internally and really helping themselves to be strong in the way that they have these gifts and talents and no longer being an outsider, but yet really seeing that as something that really can come into the world and be that much more of a beneficial for everything that we want to be bringing into the world as we grow and change. So the section that we're going to be doing is called Strengthen Your Energy. And it says, empaths have a different level of energy, partially moderate or strong, and it's full and also mystic. But no matter the level, it's important to build your own energy practice. And again, that's really what we're talking about now. So the first one tonight is really called Grounding Yourself. And, you know, grounding is so important. We always talk about Mother Earth and being in this place with nature, making sure that we're really abreast in, you know, embracing being outdoors and really connecting to all those things that can really empower you no matter what you have going on. So grounding helps yourself to relax. It also helps to strengthen your spiritual connections, to get clear about energies that, you know, one thing that's really important is to say, is this my energy or does this belong to somebody else? And grounding can really help you to do that. And along with being able to, recognizing that you're feeling grounded, it's also an easy way to be able to be connected to yourself in ways that maybe you've never really experienced before. So I think Amy and I are going to kind of take turns going through these. There's like 5 steps to the grounding exercise. And, Amy, you want to go ahead and take the first one?
Sure. And then how about I'll have you do the second? And
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to do this a little bit differently than they have it. So just a heads up on that. Know that it is in the book. But first off, they talk about finding a quiet place where you won't be disturbed. Good luck with that. So what I want to say is I want to support you in being ready wherever you are. When you're in the middle of your business, when you're trying to get things done, I think that is going to serve you better. And so one of my favorite techniques, we talk about taking a deep breath, is using the 4-7-8 breath. Dr. Wild talks about that. You can see that on YouTube all over the place. And combining it with the heart breath, because it comes from heart math. So what I want you to do is kind of, you know, imagine yourself in the middle of having to make a decision, in the middle of having to do something. And you can do this with your eyes open. You can even be driving. And so what I want you to do is I want you to imagine yourself in a situation where you need to get grounded, you need to take a next step, and you're going to take a moment for you. And so you're going to take a nice deep breath in to the count of 4. Then you're going to hold to the count of 7. And breathe out to the count of 8. There's magic, they say, in doing it 3 times. So we're going to do it one more time this time, maybe hopefully a little bit deeper. Kind of, and as you're breathing in, you can imagine you're breathing in beautiful energy. And as you're breathing out, you can imagine anything that doesn't serve you. And our dear friend Kristen Chiu was like, say, when you're breathing out, and you go, blah, if you want to. You don't have to. All right, so second breath, we're going to breathe into the count of 4. Hold the 7. Breathe out to 8. Now, on this third breath, we're going to bring in the heart breath. And what I want you to do is imagine you're something that brings you great peace or calm. It could be sitting at the beach. It could be somebody you love. You could even imagine whatever situation you're dealing with going perfectly. So I want you to go to your mind's eye, and whatever works best, and this can be different every time you do it. So right now, from whatever situation you're dealing with, or if it's just trying to be grounded, I want you to go to your mind's eye and imagine some image that comes forward. Just let it come forward. All right, so now what we're going to do, humor me, breathe that image into your heart to the count of 4. Now you're going to hold that image to the count of 7, allowing it to swish all over your body, feeling every cell of your body. And you're going to breathe out to 8. That's in honor of Kristen. So that's that simple. And what I say is, like, it's great if you can do it someplace where you're not disturbed, but you know what? When you really need it is when you're being disturbed and triggered like nobody's business.
Okay, we can just continue that breath. Yeah, continue that breath. Again, breathing in and breathing out. And notice that you can, with the breathing, you can slow it down. And what's really wonderful about the breath is it actually can help to lower your blood pressure and even your heart rate. So as you allow yourself to just kind of be a witness to the body with your breath, and maybe you can put your hands to your heart, and just kind of be sensitive to the fact that we can really slow ourselves down, both within our heart and within our systems that are really there to serve us.
So as a practice, what I'd like you to do is to do this at least once a day. And before you need to make a decision about something, take the time to do it then. You know, it's only a couple of minutes, and it'll serve you in making better decisions.
And what's real wonderful about that is, like, as you think about your blood pressure, you think about your heart rate, you can keep continually to slowly blowing down the breath and then going deeper and deeper into your body, so you actually go through each part of your body and actually relax your body and have a connection with your body. So just like Amy's saying, you know, it's really important when you've got this thing going on that you just have to really slow your body down. It's important to take times when you are in a place where you can take a little bit more time and really connect to your body. So once you have this as a practice, you can do it very quickly and basically just do a body check-in. It's just at the top of your head and then your forehead, moving into your face and your neck and into your chest, like we've been talking about my heart, and just moving it all the way down to your body until you get to your toes. And just sensing where you're tense, and you just take a breath in, and as you exhale it, you let that energy just leave the body. So you can be in this deep place where you could just relax and allow yourself to just be in this place of stillness. And you're rooted into the ground. So you just imagine that once you've connected yourself with all the body checks that you have, you know, you're drawing it in so deeply that your breath is coming out, and you could send it into the Mother Earth and root yourself into the ground. So that's part of what we're talking about with grounding and connecting yourself to Mother Earth, and just know that you can feel that connection to Mother Earth as you send your energy into her. And that's just a great practice to do on a regular basis. I love to do that in the morning when I wake up, even before I open my eyes, just kind of do a body check-in and see where I am. And it's a wonderful way to be able to do that, to go to sleep. My husband's always, he's always shocked how quickly I can go to sleep. I can go to sleep in about 5 minutes. I just do my body check-in, and I just relax and let myself go in there. So, Amy, when have you used that, when you've really seen that be just really a dynamic practice?
Is that, and as you do it as a practice, it becomes something that becomes second nature. And so when somebody tries to force you into, you know, whatever, doing something or making a decision, you can take that time right there and then make a choice you feel good about, not being forced to do it.
Yeah. It seems really simple, but yet it's very powerful. Yeah, it's very powerful.
And you don't have to believe anything they tell you. Give it a try.
Right. Yeah, try it, for sure. I mean, that's always one thing that we really want to encourage people is these are things that we've learned and know, and against things that Anita's suggesting within the book. And, you know, it's always tried and true. It's like, what works for me? What works for me, you know? So the second one's called Protect Your Aura. And it's really critical that we protect our aura every day because, you know, we go into crowds and, you know, could even be someone that we are interacting with. That could be a narcissist who could be depleting our energy. We don't even know it because there's all kinds of ways that we're required to shield ourselves from the energy of others. So while this can be helpful in some ways as an empath, it goes against the grain. So as we grow, you know, we need to separate. And, you know, we need to know that we don't need to separate and hide as we're connecting to ourselves. So one thing Anita really encourages people to do is get a black tourmaline. And I think it's really important that if that's something that resonates with you with a stone, that would be something we encourage people to get. But not necessarily thinking that, you know, that would be the end-all be-all that you have to have that. You know how that goes? She also encourages the traditions of smudging in the Native American, where people would go ahead and smudge. There's all kinds of ways that you can cleanse and clear energy, whether it's with blessed water. You can use really beautiful sounding bells that resonate, Tibetan bells or bowls and things like that are really wonderful. And even when it comes, there's even things you can get like spray mist and things like that can smell like sage or some other herb that you resonate with that really can give you a sense of comfort and protection. So anything with that, Amy?
Yeah, for me, I prefer the spray, and I will get sage oil and distilled water and make a spray. And so that way I can do that anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, should they even say you can use, like, witch hazel and water and things like that? So there's just different kinds of ways you can do. I think you can even just use Himalayan salt with water and make it like a salt water that's got a purifying condition to it. Salt's always really wonderful for purifying and things like that. So what's really important is make it as simple as possible and make it as practical as possible. So it doesn't feel like, you know, you need to have this big thing where you're, you know, it's a lot of it has to be with the intentions you put behind it. and really honoring yourself and just knowing that as you do that, you're being protected and really helping to cleanse and clear your energy. So again, you know, you're kind of going back to the grounding exercise of really sensing what's going on in my body and what's around me and being able to have that be something that can empower you. So in strengthening your aura, it's important to sit down in a quiet place if you can. It's like Amy's saying, you know, sometimes that's not possible. But when you can, you know, some of these things, once I've practiced it, I have it where I can do it quickly within myself. So sitting in a quiet place, picture your aura, you know, whatever color kind of comes to you, just kind of trust that. And if nothing's coming, just go ahead and sit down and allow yourself to just come from a place of expanding and filling a room. So that would be like taking a deep breath in and imagine you have light coming into your body from Mother Earth and it fills the inside of you. And then you exhale that out. And then with my next breath, I can fill the room with my light. And then exhale that out. And then I go ahead and fill a whole building with my light. And I just work my way out as it gets larger and larger. And as far as you want, you can extend it out. I've done exercises where, you know, I do my state, and then I do my country, and then I do the world. So it just depends on what you feel comfortable with. And as you do the practice, expansion can feel easier and easier, but a part of it's just getting used to those exercises and then doing it that way. And once you've gone out, you want to go ahead and slowly be bringing it back in until it's just inches from your body. It's just almost like a saran wrap of protection around your body, beautiful bubble of light and love around you. And you can do this 3 or 4 times to where you feel comfortable with it. And each time you do, it expands, and it will basically contract at your will. So it's basically doing that as a for visualization. So it's about creating an environment that you can feel comfortable in and being able to feel close when you have unwanted energies. I think another one, too, is something she doesn't mention, but I find it good for me, is I have like an invisible mirror that's reflective. So anything that necessarily needs to be coming into my energy that's not for my highest good would just be reflected back. And as it's reflected back, it actually gets cleansed and cleared, so it's a benefit to all that it extends out to in the opposite direction. So it basically transforms and goes back and for help and healing for anything that needs to happen with that. If there feels like something's coming my way, I basically put my mirror up and it basically does whatever it needs to do for blessing. So I find that to be very helpful too. So anything else with that, Amy, for you?
No, I just think, yeah, again, listen to if you're drawn to certain jewelry or certain gems. And I mean, there are times when I know I'm going to go into environments and I have lots of great
Yeah, I think
things.
It's really important just to kind of listen to yourself. And if you feel drawn to something, there's something there for you, you know, in a way that would be. I find that it's kind of funny. I go through stuff like that really fast. So when I look at stuff like that, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is what I need. And like 2 or 3 days later, I feel like I'm done with it. So, you know, maybe it's just a matter of like, yeah, you know, can I borrow that for a few minutes? You know, I could be able to work with some kind of an energy thing. So it's very personal, like what works for you. And it's really important, again, with self-practice, is keeping your body very healthy and, you know, working to make sure you're eating well, have great water, you're getting out and moving and having exercise and being outside. And all those things are really going to help you to cleanse and clear your energy. I've learned so much in the last, month or so about the power of water and how important it is that we really keep ourselves hydrated. That it's something that it always says, you know, it's how important that is, but it's almost, you know, let's times 10 when it comes to hydration and how important that is. So the next one's about running your energy. Amy, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, well, the bottom line is I want to give you the experience. I'm going to read this one verbatim because I really like it. I think it's very functional. And the purpose is to open your 7 major centers of energy and to balance your life force energy. So we're going to just go into this right now. So I want you to sit quietly and close your eyes. Imagine a beautiful, bright beam of light entering through the crown from above. As it enters your crown, be aware that this is your connection to the divine. This is your divinity. As it's entering through your crown, it's bathing the entire inside of your head and your throat and going down into your chest, your arms, your abdomen, down into your buttocks, through your legs and down to your feet. This beautiful light can take on any color that you would like it to, or any color that it chooses. It can be a rainbow of colors, or it can be pure white. It's beautiful, bright, and strong. This is your divinity. This is you. See this light as being really bright, so that it actually emanates a beautiful aura that surrounds your body, a bright glow that appears around your body. The brighter the beam of light that's in your body, the larger the aura that it creates. This is your powerful life force energy. Now see that light coming out through the soles of your feet and going down into the ground, all the way down into the earth, and it's all its colors, and whatever color you have chosen. See it spread its branches in the earth, going deeper and deeper, and wrapping itself around the magnetic force in the center, the core of the earth, so that you are very much a part of earth. You belong to this earth right now, but you're connected to the divine because you are divine. You are a piece of heaven living on earth, a piece of God, a piece of the divine living on earth right now, being an expression of love, shining your light here. Feel yourself back in the room, in this moment in time, and feel yourself back in your body again. Feel your fingers and your toes. Take a nice deep breath. Wiggle your fingers, toes, so your butt in the chair. Open your eyes. Have we lost you, Robin? She's in such a deep thought that she can't bring herself back. Which is okay. So I am going to continue, and Robin will join us hopefully at some point. So that is the Run Your Energy exercise. And what we wanted to help you do is to create a practice of some kind. And so we're just giving you other things to think about, lots of great choices. And so next they talk about the practice of inaction. And Dr. Kristen Miller and I, show number 500, we talked about soul resilience and being connected to your soul and asking your soul for guidance on an ongoing basis. And a large part of the work that she and I do individually and together is about how do you be and act at the same time. And so that's what this is really about, is connecting to that being in you and acting at the same time. So happenstantially, you know, as these things happen, I was working with a couple of good friends of mine this morning on the book The Power of Now, which if you haven't read that for a while, you might want to pull that out. You might want to do some work on that. And it talks about, so in Chapter 10 is surrender, which I think is a lot of what the being and acting is really about. And it's an energy. It's a way of being in an energy field and acting from there, starting from joy and moving out. And I love how it defines surrender. The surrender is perfectly compatible with taking action and initiating change or achieving goals. But in the surrendered state, a totally different energy, a different quality, flows into your doing. Surrender reconnects you with the source of energy of being. And if your doing is infused with being, it becomes a joyful celebration of life energy that takes you more deeply into the now. Like, wow. So if you haven't had that kind of experience, I highly recommend that you spend some time practicing going to being and then acting instead of just acting. And one of the things that I've certainly been working on for a long time and I support others in is being able to connect with yourself first and with others. And, you know, in addictions take us out of that. and my addiction of choice is work. And so there's a difference between doing and doing and doing to keep yourself from really feeling anything and being, you know, being connected to source and working from this state. And after you've done it for a while, you'll know what I'm talking about. I hope you have had that experience. So I'm not sure where our dear Robin is. So again, these are some practices. There's lots of others. We just want to encourage you to try different things. And each chapter has a meditation. And this chapter's meditation is to connect with cosmic web of consciousness. And so is she there? Are you back?
Mm-hmm. I was talking to Ed. I didn't realize that because when you did the exercise, I muted myself to make sure it was clean.
Okay.
So I'm sitting here talking, and you're like, where'd Robin go? I'm like, I'm right here. Hey, hello.
So, right now.
With Eckhart, I'd really encourage people that you can go to YouTube, and he's got all kinds of really small messages that go along with the power of now. And he's constantly uploading different kinds of things that, like you said, it's so interesting. There's a group of us that we talk on a regular basis, and a lot of us are just like, wow, I did the power of now in the 90s. And here we're being called back to beginner's mind and being able to review these things again in just a more mature spiritual way, and just through the life experiences that we've had of like, how does that relate to me now?
Mm-hmm.
And who am I? Mm-hmm. And who am I with these different concepts? So I think it's just really great to have those things as being able to have as a touchstone for being reflective in where we are with that and the power of just being in the present moment and really seeing how wondrous that can be and allowing itself to be that. But the Tao Ching with the Wei Wu, or Wu Wei, mm-hmm. sorry, Wu Wei, is which is translated
no
as action through inaction. No way, Wu Wei. So Wu Wei, Anita talks about her mother used to always give her cookies when she went to school. And she ended up having some guys that were bullying her. And her mother really encouraged her to just go ahead, and she made cookies, a special bag of cookies for these guys that were bullying her. And Anita didn't believe that that would be something that would change them. But through just being in a place where she could go ahead and just connect with them in a way of generosity, basically she just said, you know, stop and give the boys these cookies and just say, I'm guessing you really might like these, so I brought an extra bag for you today. Instead of having them getting teased and thinking they had to be aggressive or bullying her to be able to get what they wanted, she just offered it freely. And what was wonderful is that their faces softened. We said the leader smiled and reached out for a cookie and then gave her a high five. And then the other two boys also grinned and reached out for their cookies, giving her a high five. She said, I walked away feeling 10 feet tall and victorious. I had conquered the bully. After that, they never bothered me again. Instead of greeting me with a heartily every time they saw me, she said, my mom was right when it comes to being able to not feel like I have to match their energy but shift that energy. That's really what we're talking about. So with the Wu Wei in action, it's thinking, you know, the overpowering of the strong. It's because we empaths are confronted, or with confrontational ones, we get shy and we become the master of the Wei Wu. By cultivating this practice, we remain connected to our inner strength and guidance systems while still nurturing our sensitive natures. It's like I can be in a place of not, you know, compromising myself in being able to brace where somebody is and basically treating them the way I would want to be treated. And I think that's always, you know, something that can be really great with that too. And always at the end of each chapter, there's a meditation to connect you in a deeper way. Amy, you want to go ahead and read that? It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And I think it'd be good for you to read that.
Okay. So it says, I visualize a ball of light filling my heart space. The ball of light expands until it encompasses my whole body. I watch as I continue to expand, creating a huge aura beyond the limits of my physical body. And I think breathing in and breathing out with each of these stanzas. As the aura continues to expand, I create a huge auric field around me. The field expands so that it comes into contact with the fields of others. And the more we expand our energy, the more we connect with one another to the great cosmic web. And breathe in and breathe out. So it's being in that stillness that I can find within myself. I know that I have something that I can share with others. And that's something that Eckhart loves to share about that as well. So we're loving this book, and we thank you for joining us, as always. So our next chapter is going to be turning up the dial on your ego. And it says, I love you, accept all of me. And that includes my ego. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm going to give it a cookie. There we go.
Well, there you go. Bring cookies.
Yeah. When you want to love your ego, bring them some cookies. It sounds good.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, you know, as we're ending here, I was talking to our functional nutritionist chef Katie the other day,
mm-hmm.
and she was talking about different foods that would help impasse. So we definitely need to get a show set up with her. I know, right?
Yes. That would be perfect. That would be perfect. Okay, we'll definitely
have
our food guru on, you know, sooner than later to talk about that. I think that would be awesome.
Again, we're open to looking at all these things in different ways and new ways. How do we really support ourselves, you know, with sensitives and empaths? And I just really believe the more you become conscious, the more healing work you do, the more you are compassionate, the more you are sensitive. But I want you to be sensitive in a way that you can be on Earth and be living your calling at the same time.
Absolutely. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
Woo! Love you.
Love you too. Love you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.